I usually don't like those kinds of coffees. This is good.
I pick it up at the World Market down in Columbus.
Yeah.
We have to figure out, and I know Styx told me he's working on it, how to monetize your Facebook page, Shifting Rights Facebook page, and Youngstown Eats.
Jason's working on it.
Okay.
Jason's working on that. When I get done with this.
Good morning, gentlemen.
When I get done with this, we will. We'll start working on the structure of the show so we can start promoting it every day.
I've got 4,400 likes on that Youngstown Eats. Anytime I posted something this morning and it just goes nuts.
Yeah, my page is insane.
Yeah, so that's got to be worth it money
is.
Somewhere.
It is. And then I need to start doing some YouTube stuff. So but I do need to focus. Now on structure of the show every day, planning it out, and then getting that stuff on Facebook moving as we go forward, and then monetizing it.
When you're done with this dinner on Tuesday,
huh?
When you're done with the dinner on Tuesday,
you know, yeah, right. And if I have another great idea, will you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Styx always carries. Shoot me. So. No more talking. We can't talk now because I have to say that online again. I have to say that live. When I start having bright ideas, just shoot me.
I used to do that with my dad.
Yeah.
My dad always used to start with, I've been thinking, and my response is, don't do that.
Yeah.
Is every time he'd think, we'd get into trouble.
That's right. Don't think.
This is good coffee. I normally don't. This is good.
I know.
I've looked at the name of the movie before.
I know. It's really good. And it's good. I do use both the grounds and the Keurig. The Keurig, these little pods are more expensive than I like to pay.
Yeah.
But they're convenient here.
I've had a couple of these specialized kinds of coffees that are just rank. This stuff is better than – I'm a Maxwell House fan.
Oh.
It's better than Maxwell House.
Yeah.
Did you have a good Easter?
I had a great Easter. You used to invite me to Easter dinner, but I thought about that the other day.
Yeah.
I haven't had an Easter dinner with the Mangies. Was it Easter or was it Mother's Day?
It was Mother's Day.
Okay.
Well, we didn't go to the club this year.
You guys are becoming normal people.
Yeah, we went to Cafe Capri. And I thought, oh, this is going to be wonderful.
I thought about
really good.
Next year, I want to host a dinner somewhere in the building and have a buffet.
Yeah, how about the first floor? When do we get to the first floor, that nice space on the first floor here?
When I want to pay rent. They'll let me have it if I want to pay for it. Chase will let me have it. They'll let me have the whole building if I want to pay for it.
I mean, I like it up here. It's a nice space though.
You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, we're coming up. Tracy and friends.
Okay.
We're coming up. Let's see if I did that right. I don't think I did. La 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 la. Well, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Our call-in number here is 516-595-8258. Hey, Mark, we forgot to pray because we were running our mouth. That's your fault. You should have reminded me.
Yeah, time is going by.
Show,
wow.
Name, amen. Hey, guys, we're here. It's Monday. I've got Mark Manji in studio with me. Want you to be in studio with us. Give us a call at 516-595-8258. Got Josh in my ear. And we're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. And you can call them at 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW. It was a slow news week. And I've got Sheriff Clark coming to town on next Monday in Cleveland for my luncheon for the inclusion politics.
Is he flying in Monday?
He's flying in Tuesday.
Tuesday?
I'm sorry, he's flying in Monday. He's going to be on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, okay.
He's flying in Monday, and so he's stuck with me.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that yet. wait till he sees me in, and I pick him up at the airport, and I honk the horn going, "We'll work for food,
yep.
Sheriff Clark." So that is on Monday night. And then he'll be with us for lunch on Tuesday and then for dinner here in Mahoning County on Tuesday night.
That's going to be quite an event Tuesday night.
Yes, it is. I'm excited about that.
Have you any counts?
I think we're going to break 500.
I think we're going to break 500,
I think we're going to break 500.
That's going to be an amazing event. And, boy, for that kind of a crowd to come in.
In Mahoning County. Oh, my God. A Republican Mahoning County.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? You racist Republicans. Do you guys know David Clark is black?
Who?
Sure. David Clark?
Yeah, he's a black guy.
You know he's a black guy.
Yeah.
He's an African American.
That's right.
Why would you bring an African American here to talk to you? You, all you white Republicans who are racist, why would you bring him here to talk to you about anything and then pay to go see?
Because he's not black.
Okay.
Oh, well, I stumped her. This is wonderful. I don't get to do that often. Here we
wow.
go. So you have to understand.
Isn't that amazing?
It depends on what segment of the black community you're talking about.
Oh.
A large segment of the black community, he's not black.
Oh.
He is a pawn of the white man.
Can I tell you what happened to me on Friday?
Yes, ma'am.
Here's a true story. I am having Sheriff Clark come on April 30th. Sheriff Clark's going to be with me in Cleveland at the Crop Bistro. And I'm so excited. So you guys know I go and frequent many different places across, you know, the area. And so I'm sitting down, and I am talking to some guys, and I'm saying, listen, I got these flyers with me in Cleveland because I'm past spreading the word. I got to find out where people are. So I'm in Cleveland, and I'm passing out the flyers, and the guy said, put me down. All the guys around me, put me down. No problem. Put me down. I got it. Whatever you need, put me down. So these are all white guys.
Yeah.
And so as the day progresses, the day gets darker. So I got black guys coming in now. I'm talking about, I got Sheriff Clark coming in. And wait a minute. Now, hold on. Now, I want you to know, most of these guys are either businessmen or law enforcement.
Okay.
Okay. So law enforcement, retired law enforcement, no problem. You know, he's one of our guys. Sheriff Clark, he's law enforcement. He's guy, no problem. He's great. So I get to Sheriff, the black guys, they're law enforcement. I'm going, Sheriff Clark's coming to town. You want to come? Can't do it. But he's a good guy. I know him. I saw him on television. But you don't know him. I got to meet the guy. So what I saw on TV and the person that I met are two different people. You can't go by sound clips and say you know the guy. So they hate the guy because they saw the guy on TV. So I talked to my uncle. I said, Uncle, guess what? David Clark's coming to town for me next week. You want to come? I don't like the guy. You've never met the guy.
How do you know that you don't like him? Because he's just out of his league. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's doing. I'm like, you don't know the guy. Do you understand? You don't know. Why are you making judgments based upon what you think you saw on television?
And that certainly is a problem in America today. Everybody's making judgments on everything, and they know nothing.
And so
they're making the judgments on.
He's not white. He's not black to black people. He's not black. I mean,
he's
what?
He's not black. He's not white to white people. He's not black to black people. And so
what are we?
You know what? This guy's an honest conservative man, and I think that's a good. You know, that could be a good place for him to be. Because
you can't be an honest conservative man.
Yeah, you can to yourself. How you look to other people is another story, but if you stay true to yourself and your own convictions, you're going to come out on top at the end. And, you know, this guy comes out and he says what he believes. And
he believes what he says. He stands on his own feet.
And so, you know, even white people who are racist
will be there. Because they like what he has to say.
They like what he has to say.
And let me say this. They're not racist. They are prejudiced. They may be ignorant. There are very, 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 very few people that I have come across.
You're right.
And I travel a long way in my long circles that are racist. Now, trust me, they are horses patoots all day long. And I just – and 314, hold on just a second. I'll bring you in. So I got to say this. I was talking about a friend of mine this morning. And people think that he doesn't do something because he doesn't like them. And I'm like, and they think that they don't do because he's black, because they're black, or they're not doing it because they don't like them, or because they're female. And I'm like, no, you have equal opportunity pisser offers. Connie is an equal opportunity pisser offer. Who knows? I locked the door. So Connie is. So that's what she does. So it's not about race. It's not about creed. Connie is good at what she does. So I have another friend. He does the same thing.
Yeah.
He is a bad follow-upper. It's not personal. So if he doesn't return your phone calls, you think that he's not returning your phone calls because of you. And I'm like, don't take it personal. He does it to everybody. And we tend to think because you do it to me, it's personal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. I took it personal until I found out he does it to everybody. He's a bad follow-upper.
Yeah.
He never calls people that. He's bad at texting. He's bad at following up. It's just who he is. Am I lying?
No.
And we have people like that.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, I want you guys to know there's nobody here today. The whole floor is empty. Why my dog is barking in the background, I'll never know. I locked the doors. Hey, good morning, Bianchi. How are you?
Good morning, Tracy and Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You know, I agree with you regarding racism. And that word has been thrown all over the place and applied in areas that if you go back decades ago, no one would have thought that it would have been applied then. And, you know, technically, the way it's used, a person can be a racist as long as you don't violate a U.S. citizen's civil rights. If you don't like a person, it's okay, yes. And one thing I'm going to say to you, Mark, there is an attack on white males. But whites have to stop being paralyzed when somebody calls them a racist, even though they're not a racist. You stop dead in your tracks like a deer in headlights. And it's true. And Tracy, I know you noticed that too. If you want to stop a white movement, just call a white person, you're a racist. They stop.
Wait a minute. Is that the code word to make people stop? It's almost like you remember stop when you were kids.
Right.
And so if you turn around, it's almost like it makes people white people freeze if you call them racist.
It makes them freeze, especially conservatives.
So what happens to the liberals?
Well, anything gets them excited.
And you know what, Bianchi, you are so right. It does. It makes white people freeze. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, just like they get on white people when they say they're white nationalists. You have a love for the nation of America. What's wrong with that? It's nothing wrong with it.
It's misinterpreted. People think that if you have a love for the country, that you are somehow not American or not inclusive. Where America is all about inclusion. It's all about melting pot. It's all about different ideals and different thoughts and coming together and cohabitating. That's what America is, and opportunity. That's what it's about. The problem is the powers that be don't want us to be unified, because if we ever become unified, that means they won't control us. And they like controlling the people. I look at it as people moving. And right now, we don't even teach our children how to color outside the lines. We teach them how to color off the page. If you color off the page, it doesn't work. You've got to color on the page but outside the lines. And we need to start teaching our young people how to color outside of the lines. But don't get to the point where you color off the page. Because that's
look at the Congressional Black Caucus.
They're useless.
They are a bunch of racists, if you want to apply this to it. Steve Cohen is a U.S. congressman for the 9th Congressional District there in Tennessee, which includes Shelby County. His district is about 65-67% black. But the Congressional Black Caucus have a standing rule. It's printed in the newspaper. No whites are allowed.
You know, and I saw that, or they couldn't hold office. I have a question for you, and I'm going to take a break real quick. And maybe you can answer this question. We'll get to the tax returns and the impeachment obsession and all that other crazy stuff. But I got some other questions for you.
Okay.
Because some things are just wacky.
Yeah.
And I got to talk about – I was watching to Adult Swim over the weekend. I didn't have anything else better to do. And I was watching Adult Swim, and what's that dumb show, Boondocks?
What?
It's called Boondocks.
What's that on?
It's on the Adult Swim Network, Cartoon Network.
Cartoon Network, okay.
And it was really, really, really wacky because some of the things that I was watching and them saying and watching them do and say inside of this cartoon, if a white person said it, we would kick the TV in. And I need to know what's good, if it's good for the goose, if it's good for the gander. So how can I do some things and you can't? I'm going to take a break real quick. You listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Our call-in number here is 516-595-8258. We're going to take a break real quick. We'll be right back. Maybe not. I thought I was going in. I guess I didn't. There it is.
There it is.
There it is. Hey, Josh, I need an extra minute.
I don't know who this guy is. I mean, I said I couldn't open up the door without you.
What? He's trying to find a door in the place next door and let him go.
Hello? I'm back.
Flying High. That's
good.
Today. Flying High.
Oh, okay.
And so they're trying to find Flying High.
I gotcha.
And they're coming here.
Okay.
And they're not.
It's not connecting.
No.
Yeah.
It's not finding up. I'm not Flying High.
I feel bad, but I didn't want to open up the door. I don't know who went in. I don't unlock the door.
I'm not unlocking the door. You're gonna unlock the door, but I'm not doing it. Freeze.
But you know another thing too.
What's that?
At graduation at Bethune-Cookman College, which is a historical black college, Bessie DeVos was speaking there. And the whole class, this is black school, Mark. the whole class in the auditorium stood up and turned their back to the woman.
Really?
Yes. It's on YouTube. That is totally disrespectful. Now, these young people had to be encouraged to do this by adults. Betsy DeVos takes part of her salary and donates it to historical black colleges and universities.
It's Bianchi, I've got to come back and take that break. Give me 1 minute. Hold on and let me come back up. And I want you to say that again. Thank you. Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Got Mark Manji with me. Pianki out of Missouri is with me, and I'm Tracy Winbush. Pianki said something during the break, and I asked him to repeat it. He was talking about Betsy DeVos. And what were you saying, Pianki?
Well, I was saying she was speaking at commencement day at Bethune-Cookman. And when she came in, she was booed, and the student body in the auditorium stood up and turned it back to her. And I think that was totally disrespectful. It was really silly. And, you know, this lady takes part of her salary and have donated to historical blacks and universities and colleges, just like Donald Trump don't take a salary as a president. He donates that money. So I don't – these young people had to be encouraged by some ill-thought adults, Tracy.
But they always are.
Especially in the universities.
They always are, even high school, university. Instead of them teaching them to listen and to critically think, to debate, to agree to disagree, and to hear what people are saying, we just turn our backs on people because the media has told us that Betsy DeVos is this way. And my problem is there's people that you know, and then when you meet them, they're not who you thought they were. I've met some terrible people and found that they were nice people. And I met some nice people and found that they were terrible.
Yeah.
A case in point, true story. I was a Billy Dee Williams fan as a young child. And, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of black men on television that were dapper, that had it going on. It just wasn't. So Billy Dee Williams, you know, we had Mahogany with Diana Ross. And, you know, Billy, he was smooth.
Yeah.
And I went to Los Angeles to live, and he was one of the first celebrities that I met when I got there, because in Los Angeles, everybody knows it's a small town of celebrities. And so after a while, you see him everywhere, but that was my first celebrity. And I was so enamored with him because of who I thought he was, and the person that I met was not who I thought he was.
Ah.
He was not the kind, smooth, dapper, debonair guy who I expected to meet. He actually was a horse's patoot. And I was so devastated because this man who he played the baseball movie with Richard Pryor. He was a good-looking black man. He was awesome, but he wasn't who I thought he was. And I had to learn that what you see on TV is an image and a projection. It's not real.
And that is a non-racial issue, because I experienced the same thing within the white community.
That's what I'm saying. People are people.
Yeah, and we had that discussion. We had this discussion in our church yesterday, because I'm a right wing conservative guy.
Okay.
That's the representative. That's the reputation I have. We had people leave our church because I was singing in the choir, and one lady stayed, and her and I have gotten to be friends, and she's an uber lib in every sense of the world, wears the hat and everything that they, when you go to the women's marches, they take that hat. And, you know, she said to me yesterday, she says, you know what? She said, I know we disagree on stuff, but you're a really nice guy.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Duh. I don't agree. If you want to kiss a frog, kiss a frog. Sleep with the frog. Live with the frog. Do whatever you want with the frog. But it doesn't mean you're not a nice person or a person that I shouldn't respect.
But that's the Democratic Party and the media thrive on hate. Look what they're doing to Pence. I forget what college he was going to go speak at.
Oh.
And the gay community comes up and says, we don't want him. Why not? It's a Christian school. We don't want him.
How does that happen? Because
he's filled with hate.
Because, and the, you look at these bombings that are going on.
Yeah.
We wonder why our young people are trying to, are sharing venom. We're not teaching them anything else. I mean, who? What would make you decide, huh, there's a church. Let's find some gasoline and throw a fire on it. I think it's a good idea. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on now. Why?
So when you talk about these things with people, and you know, and if you start with religion, because religion right now is in flux. There was an article I read over the weekend that said membership in a church is down to less than 50% of the American public right now. It's the lowest it's ever been. Back up, and it's been up until about the late 1990s and early 20s. It was at 75%, and it's fallen to about 49% right now. So, over the last 18 years, so you go out and you talk about the faith community, and I like to talk about the faith community. This faith community made up of many, many different religions. Because anyone who belongs to a church now is under attack. Always.
Always.
And I don't care whether you're Muslim, Jewish, or Christian. You know, the mosque that was shot up in New Zealand, the synagogue that was shot up in Pittsburgh, the horrible things that happened in Sri Lanka yesterday.
But Mark, but see, this is we understand. This is about making sure people do not communicate. Communication is the key. It is what makes people successful. If I do not articulate what's going on with me, and you do not hear me, and I don't listen to you, then we have a problem living, cohabitating together.
Yeah.
And the society that we live in, we do not want everyday people to live cohesively and communicate so that they find out what they have in common. See, if the problem is we've got more in common than we have.
And people of faith have so much in common.
But it's not even so. People of faith and people of non-faith have more in common.
Because
people are people. We're all going through things, life, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. You may be sick today or you may be well today, but eventually you're going to catch a cold.
Yeah, personally for me, I'm comfortable pretty much in any church or synagogue I walk into talking to God because I bring my religion with me wherever I go.
But this is not about religion. This is just about respect.
Respect. And to have respect for one another. And, you know, the really nice thing, the plus side is that after we lost those few people from our church, those that have stayed behind have learned.
But, Mark.
Even though we're different, we respect each other.
But, again,
and that's
respect.
A good thing.
Right is right and wrong is wrong. The sky is blue. Grass is green.
You're absolutely right.
You start telling
you're
me
absolutely
the grass
right.
is green. And the sky is green and the grass is blue. Then we gotta sit down and have a conversation.
No, we don't.
Why? We do. Because,
no, we don't.
No, we do. Well, listen, to what I'm saying. We do have to have a conversation, but we have to respect the disagreement that you still now believe that the sky is now green.
In the context of religion, you don't have to have
but
a conversation.
No.
But generally,
we're not talking about religion.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm talking about people.
Yeah.
Whether you're religious
or
because see, again, if I'm religious, I still have to respect where you are, whether I agree with what you do. I have my faith. I have my belief. I believe a certain belief system. My goal is not to make you believe what I believe, but to respect that you do not believe what I believe, and I have the right to not agree with you.
Yeah, and you're 100% right.
The problem that we have is we want to disagree, and if you don't come to my side, we demonize you.
You're evil. You're
right.
Hateful.
And that's where the
problem comes. That's the way it goes now. You're absolutely right. Same-sex marriage, it's the law. I have to respect it. I may not want to participate in it, but I have to respect the people that do. And that's all it's about.
And they have to respect them. They got to respect the people that don't in reverse.
And like I
absolutely.
The analogy that I use, if you want to sleep with a frog, you have the right to kiss the frog, sleep with a frog, if you believe the frog's going to turn into a prince. That's your business. And when you come to my house, I have the right to tell you that I do not want you kissing your frog in my house. But if I'm in your house, you have the right to do whatever you want to do in your house, whether I like it or not. And if I don't like it, get up and leave.
So where do we learn, and where have we learned not to respect each other?
Oh, we keep that going.
We used to be called the loyal opposition. You don't hear that term anymore in the United States. I grew up, we talked about the loyal opposition in politics. These are people who opposed what you did, but you're loyal to the country, and you're loyal to the basic precepts of the country. There is no more loyal opposition.
I got to go to my break, but listen to this. Vorp online says, don't forget about Kentucky bluegrass. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I'm in studio with Mark Manji. I'm Tracy. We've got Pianchi on the phone over there in Missouri, and we'll be right back. Where is Tracy?
Actually, I'm down in Louisiana right now, but
what are you doing in Louisiana?
It's my winter home and my grandson's school.
Be nice. I'm gonna grow up and be like you one day.
Well, you headed that way.
I'm trying.
You should run for vice. You should be a vice president candidate.
A vice president of what?
Of the president.
Pence. No, Pianchi. I'm insane, but I ain't crazy.
Well, you logical. You have logic. You have logic opinions.
No, I don't. I'm not that logical. Yes, I don't want that much attention.
Okay.
That is not. Listen, if they're trying to kill Betsy DeVos and Pence and Trump, they definitely gonna shoot me.
What is the echo I keep hearing?
Probably the setup here. I've got to figure out. Right now, you're not tapped into Facebook. You're running through boards to bring it all together. Or it could just be the cell phone hookup. Anybody seen Brown? And have you talked to Michigan?
I haven't talked to Michigan in a long time.
Bill called in. There.
Bill Green?
Bill Green.
Yeah, I talked to him maybe within a few months. His son is getting big. Growing and coming along.
Yeah, he is. It's so amazing. Oh, that's not today's. No. Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. You got Mark Manji in studio with me, and the phone number here is 516-595-8258, and we're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. For your next replacement windows for home improvement, you want to call Window World at 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW. Tell them that Tracy and Friends sent you, and I promise you they will take care of you. And if not, give me a call, and I'll call the Moran family and say, hey, people are not taking care of these people, but I'm quite sure they will.
And now's the time to do it. Now's the time for home improvements. I know I got a bunch, and I'm probably going to be calling Window World for a new door in the next couple of weeks.
I got a question for you, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
I moved into an apartment building, and I'm in a high rise.
Yeah.
So why didn't they put Window World replacement windows in the building so I could, like, take them and wash the windows up top and turn them in and wash the window and put them back up? I mean, I'm just thinking. You're on a high rise.
Yeah.
They don't
want you jumping out.
No, they left.
Oh, they left?
They left.
Oh, okay.
They just don't roll in.
They don't roll in. I got
you. And my question is,
they bought cheap windows.
Wow. They should have gone to 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW.
That's right. I mean, it's not that Window World's windows are expensive. They're not. They're highly competitive. They're top quality, and they're convenient.
And you know, I'm almost sure the reason probably being is one is residential, and they have the commercial standard at a certain height.
Yeah.
They probably have to be a whole lot stronger because when the winds whip around.
Well, my favorite story is about these kinds of issues. My folks owned a condominium down in Fort Lauderdale for
okay.
many years, right on the beach. And when Hurricane Andrew came through, you remember how bad
Andrew was a little tough.
We weren't in the bullseye, but we were, you know. Right, anything that was a block away from us and south didn't have power for almost 8 weeks. And so the windows we had in the buildings, we faced the ocean. This thing was coming right over the ocean. We were on the 11th floor, and we walked in and we found crabs and fish on
Whoa.
The floor that had blown in because the windows were louvered. So when the wind blew, it blew the windows and the wind came into the apartment.
Wow.
And it blew the, you know, whatever
was coming in.
That was coming in. Three, about 10 years later, after I inherited the unit, it was longer than that after we inherited the unit, we got a notice from Fort Lauderdale saying we have to change the windows.
Okay.
Now, Hurricane Andrew was a Category 5
right.
hurricane, one of the worst. We had to change the windows because the code called for hurricane windows that could – windows that could stand at Category 3. Now, I want to tell you, as you went up and down the beach, not in our building, but in other buildings, those wind blew those windows out. It didn't blow the louvered windows out because the louvered windows, they moved.
So listen to this, Mark.
And we had to get rid of them, and it cost us $15,000-$20,000.
This doesn't make sense, but nothing in government does. What I can't comprehend is they come up with better rules, but the louvered windows that you're talking about and the regulations that they brought on, it's just stupid, but they're good at stupid. People
you're
are
right
good
they're
at
stupid.
They, I have never. You can't buy those kind of windows made in America. Good, old, you'd be surprised the strength that older stuff has.
Yeah,
because as I'm cleaning stuff, I got stuff that,
Mark,
that I could buy now for love nor money. What were you saying, Pionki?
I was asking Mark, what did he do with the crab and fish? Did you make a soup?
Gumbo.
They weren't that big, but it was very strange seeing them on the living room floor in an 11-story apartment.
Jeez, old man. I got a question. What is the obsession with Donald Trump's tax returns? And they're going to go back 6 years. If I'm not mistaken, he's only been in office for 2.5.
You know, he has sued Elijah Cummings. He sued Elijah Cummings.
So what's he going to get from him?
Well, he sued Elijah Cummings to block the subpoenas.
But the question I have is, what is the obsession with the tax return?
Well, they
and they want to go. Wait a minute. He's only been in office 2 years.
Yeah.
Which means he's only been running 3.
Yeah.
So why 6?
Well, that's the question Trump's asking them in the motion to quash the subpoenas and lawsuit to stop them and the permanent injunction from any further subpoenas on this thing. This is harassment. It's nothing else. They want to look for stuff. And they're going to look at everything they do. Minimally, they hope to embarrass him. Hopefully, they might find something criminal that he did. Because Michael Cohen said, oh, he inflated the value of his real estate when he went in for a loan.
When did we? Okay.
Everybody inflates the value
of
their real
estate. All right. Hold on. Did he really say that?
What?
I got a piece of property on the east side that's worth $3 million.
Well, you know, but here's another thing. With all the leftists that's working for the IRS, they would have leaked his tax returns if something was wrong with him by now.
You're exactly right. I never thought about that, but you're exactly right.
I just want to know what in the world are people just so – what are they going to find in a tax return?
Besides
the loopholes in the taxes.
Well, he's not worth as much money as he says he is.
What's that got to do with the price of rice?
What's that? So what? I don't care. You know, his tax returns are so complicated you couldn't possibly begin to comprehend them.
They tell me they're like volumes.
Absolutely.
Of the book.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They'd be meaningless to whomever. Just like 400 pages of the Mueller report was meaningless. It was because you really can't get in there and
– Well, they said – listen, they said that the Mueller report said that President Trump obstructed justice, but he really didn't obstruct it because they couldn't find anything for him to obstruct.
Well, yeah, you have to have a know, he instructed the investigation about the crime he didn't commit.
Can you really do that?
Well, actually,
having a baby that you didn't have and naming it because you think you had one.
Actually, it kind of makes legal sense, and I put the kind of in there because the crime isn't the crime that they said he did. The crime is preventing them from investigating what they claim to be a crime. And they have a right to go in there and do that if they have a proper predicate.
But they don't.
They don't have a predicate in this one.
So
and nor does Trump have a motive because he didn't do anything wrong. So why would he obstruct it for any other reason that he was president? And, you know, and he did. He exercises his executive authority correctly. They're looking to listen.
Is this all about 2020? And they can't find. They're trying to shoot. It's almost like me on a range, or me when I go bowling.
Yeah.
If I throw the ball down the lane, it goes into somebody else's lane. Hopefully, it'll hit a pin.
Yeah.
So it's like throwing a bunch of darts. You know, Sticks has this gun called the judge.
Yeah.
And instead of the gun shooting one pellet, it shoots like a shotgun.
Yeah.
So at least you'll hit something.
Yeah.
So is this like the Democrats, their judge, if they shoot it, hopefully it'll hit something eventually and kill something?
And that's exactly what Trump put in his argument, that it's abuse of congressional instructions. They're not investigating a crime. They're looking for a crime, and there's a difference.
So while they're looking for a crime, what are they not doing that we need to have done as the American citizens? Because I have a problem looking in the rearview mirror at 16 when I got problems here in 19 that need to be seen about.
Yeah, they're not doing anything.
Well, you got a big problem is the American public is dumb. But let me ask you this. Suppose you found out in his tax return.
Did you say the American public was dumb?
They are.
Okay.
But if you find in his tax return that he donated $100,000 to the NAACP, would people be demanding that they give it back?
No, because he did. Remember, he got the award. He got the Black Award for being the whitest black man in New York until he ran for president as a Republican. Then he actually turncoat on the people, but they didn't give the money back.
There you go.
Because remember, as long as you pay, you're not a racist. Unless, and you can be a racist if you're a Democrat, but if you're a Republican and you give money, we're still not going to give it back, but you'll be a racist anyhow.
Well, just like the guy, the basketball owner out there in California, what was it, Sterling?
Sterling. I thought about him, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
He gave to the local California NAACP, and people demanded that they give the money back.
And they didn't. They don't have the money to give back. It's not like they're the Boy Scouts. It's not like they got a pot of money sitting on the side somewhere because they've been diligent in their spending. What it is they always go out and then they bite the hand that feeds them. And they only come out to they're used by companies and people to go after people that they shouldn't be going after and not dealing with the issues at large.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at the Virginia case still with the governor.
Well, the sad thing is in all of this, because we're the topic this morning seems to be centering around racism in a couple different directions, and is that when you see Elijah Cummings as the one who's being sued by the president. How all it does is reinforce the prejudices of people.
I don't think it does.
You don't?
No.
I think it does.
I don't think it does. I don't think it does. And I'm hopeful that the president will take the gloves off or call me. He has two choices. He can take the gloves off to himself, or he can call me and let me have my conversation with Elijah Cummings that I'd like to have.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate all you've done in the history of African Americans for all the stuff that you've done to do that. But now what you're doing is putting black people on an auction block and selling them every day and doing
you
nothing.
Are absolutely right. They was useful way back when, but right now they are worthless. Maxine
absolutely.
Water today is
absolutely.
Worthless.
Absolutely.
She's crazy.
Absolutely. She has no idea what she's doing, and she's leading people down a frivolous path, and it's leading to destruction. And I have a problem with that. So I pray that eventually, one day, they will allow me to spar with some of these people, because I have no problem today calling a spade a spade.
So can we talk about Kate Smith?
Is Kate Smith the Charlie's Angel?
No. Kate Smith is the big, heavy lady that made the success of God Bless America.
God Bless America.
God Bless. And she'd get out there and she'd belt it out. And she was a singer for a very, very, very long time. And the Philadelphia Flyers played God Bless America in front of their games before every game.
Right.
And they stopped it last week.
Why?
Because apparently back in 1931, Kate Smith sang a song that was perceived to be racist.
Huh?
And
they want to remove the Kate Smith statue from the New York Yankees.
They covered it in black.
Mark.
No, they covered it in black, and it was in front of the arena where the Flyers played.
Because in the 1930s, she sang a song.
1931, she recorded a song that was racist, and Paul Robeson recorded the same song. So what is it? Apparently, the song was written. It would be their equivalent of a Saturday Night Live parody. And I read the words, and it's fairly disgusting. You know, somebody needs to pick cotton, and the darkies are going to go pick cotton.
Okay, let me see this. 1931. That's 87 years ago.
Yeah.
An old white lady.
Well, she wasn't old then. She was young then. She was old when I – she was old, you know, later. But,
can I say that's
– I want to get the words to the racist song up here.
Are you serious, Mark?
Yeah, I'm serious. So what does that do? Because, you know, she is an icon of
now, Paul Robeson was a black man, right?
Yeah, Paul Robeson was a black man, and he sang the same song. He recorded the same song.
Mm-hmm. It's so much out there that's slanted in one direction.
Has anyone who sung a Stephen Foster song has sung a racist song?
I am so taken back by this, Mark.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the words here.
That's why darkies were born is a song.
Okay.
And it seems that someone left it to the colored man. Robert, sister, what must be? So the balance is wrong, till your faith must be strong, accept your destiny. Brothers, listen to me. Someone had to pick the cotton. Someone had a plan to call. Someone had a slave and be able to sing. That's why donkeys were born. Someone had a laugh at trouble, though he was tired and worn. To be contented with any old thing. That's why donkeys were born. Sing, sing, sing when you're weary, and sing when you're blue.
I know what this is.
Well, that's why darkies were born. And let me say this, and I mean no disrespect to African Americans. It is the history of America. And you have to take the good, the bad, and the different, and you have to make it to where it makes it better for today. If this song were to be sung today, would I be outraged? Yes, but no more than what I heard the other day about in this, in that, she's a B, do that. I don't sleep. She got to get that, jump on my D, go that. It's to me, it's the same from the black person and the black man singing a rap song in hip-hop today as this woman sing today. I'm more enraged by them than I am by her.
If Paul Robeson sang this song, it'd be entirely different.
He did.
This thing has all the roots. Please tell me the difference between that and Old Man River in Showboat.
Because we don't use the word.
There was work to be done, and it seems that someone left it to the sunset.
And that's Paul Robeson.
It's a spiritual.
What must be,
it's a sign of the day. It's an element of the day of the 1930s, 1931. When my mother was born in the Great Depression, this was the day that we were in. The
yeah.
same way that we're in the day that we're in today. And so, are we going to put all?
Well, look
in?
At the. Look at Malcolm X. You got Street's name out to him. And
yeah,
look
correct.
What he's called, how he called white people, talked about the hair being stringy and all like dogs and everything. So they need to take his signs now.
But let me, and, I mean, I was talking about Boondocks before we went to break. Boondocks, which is on the Swim, Adult Swim Network, on the Cartoon Network,
yeah.
Adult Swim. I was outdone by some of the things I heard them say, talking about whether it be gays, talking about white people, talking about black people, and whether it be true or not true. If a black person or if a white person had done a character or done a show like that, we would actually throw all the televisions into the street. I have a problem with a double standard. You can't do that. You can't say that you don't want me to call you an N-word, but you call me a B and an N-word all day long in the music that you sing. You can't tell me that 30 years or 88 years ago, somebody says, the you know, calls you the N-word and sings a racist song, and now you want to make it, we don't want to tell anybody about it today. That's just ignorant. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ, AM 1440. We're brought to you by Window World. The number here is 516-595-8258. We'll be right back.
That's just
the number here is 516-595-8258.
Turn your radio down. Hey, 402, turn your radio down. Good morning. Okay.
Well, you're absolutely right. These double standards that exist.
You better believe it. You can't do that. You can't sit there and do that to people.
But that's so, even when it was written. If you look at the concept of Showboat, which is basically about a woman who was black pretending to be, she was a mulatto.
You talking about that? Is it Showboat or was that Imitation of Life?
No, Showboat, and she pretends to be she was biracially born. She was more white than black, and she chose to be white. That and so she was hiding her blackness, performing in the South.
Okay.
And so you get, and I believe it was Paul Robeson who sang "Old Man River." I'm so weary of picking cotton. I'm tired of living instead of dying.
I was.
So what? What's the difference? I hear a spiritual in this song, and I'm in a choir and I sing a lot of spirituals, which I kind of find offensive in a way because of how they're. Any spiritual you sing, they're framed in a certain way, and there's certain words that I feel like I'm being very white singing them. But they're talking about the oppression, the slavery. They're talking about the condition of the African Americans looking for the promised land, going to cross the river. These are all things that come from the plea of an oppressed people, and that song is just that. You know, that's we're over here doing it, but you know what? That's why darkies were born.
Well, I collect the stuff. I collect, you know, I collect some crazy stuff, but I'm just. I gotta come back. Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. We're up against a we're almost done, Mark. Hey, Pionki, want to thank you for hanging out with me today. I am just so why can't we all just get along?
And I use it. Who did that quote?
Rodney King.
Yeah.
That's David Tim.
And it's a perfect quote.
I just don't understand the insensitivity, the dumb, and as Pianki said, people are stupid. 1931 is 87 years ago, 88 years ago. It was a sign of the times. You take it and you learn from it. You teach stories about it. And good people make bad decisions. And not everything that America has done has been right, but that does not mean we're all bad. But what we're doing right now, we're going to look back in history, and what we're going to be doing right now is actually killing our future.
And that we didn't even talk about, because we're running out of time, what they did in Virginia now. You know, the governor of Virginia that wore blackface, he's tearing down a memorial to Jefferson Davis because Jefferson Davis was president of the Confederacy. Okay.
What does that have to do with you?
What explain to me how that works. I don't understand.
Because I'm going to prove you that I am not. See, let me say this, I've got a few minutes. I've got about 5 minutes before I'm done with the day, maybe three. Listen to this. Racism is an attitude. It really is, Mark. And what is happening is we're turning racism into an action. Because racism is an ideal. And what I'm seeing is you can't prove that you're not a racist by what you did. That's not how you prove that you're not a racist. Because what I do can really, really blanket over who I really am. I can give you $1 million and hate you.
And they do.
And every day.
Every day that happens.
And you think that they're your friend. I would rather for you to come out, call me who you are, let me know what you're about, then I know how to use you. But I can't
absolutely
use you when I think you're my friend and you hate me.
Well, I wish you had more time. I talk about the attacks on the Confederate, Civil War soldiers that happen to fall on the Confederate side and the attack that we see on their statues. And they only done what soldiers done that at that time. They fought in the wars. Robert E. Lee fought in the Mexican-American War. He fought alongside with Ulysses S. Grant, who went on to become a Union general. And I think he fought alongside of Taft, who went on to become a president. What happened? What would Mexico be like? Oh, I mean, what would Texas be like today if their war had not been won?
I agree, but we don't teach that. And Pianki, tomorrow I'd love to bring that subject, and we'll talk about the Civil War tomorrow. I got a problem with that. That's just dumb. Why erase history? Why not learn from it? In the Bible, God puts the whole history in. He did not leave out the bad part of David and Moses. And as a matter of fact, when he writes about all y'all, you better watch out for that book. You listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. My calling number here is 516-595-8258. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 11 o'clock. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
See you, Josh.